रामाय रामभद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीताय पतये नमः. अयोध्या कांड चैप्टर नंबर 112 रामास सैंडल्स. द रेसिटेशन बिगिंस नाउ. The Maharishis present were filled with surprise and joy to hear that the brothers of unrivaled luster speak to one another so fondly and lovingly. The royal saints, divine sages, siddhas and gandharvas that stood around all unseen said to the princes, "Thrice blessed is he who calls himself the father of these virtuous and valiant princes. We never tire of listening to their discourse." The rishis took counsel together and resolved to hasten the day when Ravana and his Rakshasas could be no more. They said to Bharata, "Dear prince, whom high lineage, wisdom, purity and fame vie in crowning, if you desire to secure the highest good to your father, follow the counsel of Rama." Dasharatha discharged his debts to Kaikeyi and earned long eons of heaven life. We would even have Rama quit off all his debts to Dasharatha. It gladdened the heart of Raghunatha to hear them say so, and they departed to their abodes, duly honored of him. Bharata was well nigh broken-hearted at the failure of his earnest prayers. Trembling like a leaf, he clasped hands of appeal and cried, "Brother, I pray you accede to my entreaty, bearing in mind the heavy responsibility of a kingdom and the traditions of our house. I cannot rule over this vast empire all alone, unaided, nor can I hope to gladden the hearts of our subjects that have gone after you. Our kinsmen, friends and troops pray for you as farmers pray for the welcome rains. Guide the storm-tossed vessel of state into the heaven of safety. It is nothing for you to rule over this broad earth. Every means, every expedient, every ruse that he knew, argument, prayer, entreaty, proved in vain, and Bharata was driven to the last resort of taking refuge with Rama. He fell at his feet and prayed. Was it ever known to go for nothing? But Rama had to slay Ravana in consequence of the prayer of the Devatas. He was ready to lead the 14 years in the Dandaka forest as his father had commanded him, and the likeliest means to bring him nearer to the purpose of his incarnation. Bharata's prayers would be granted next in order, but it was not in him to wait so long. So Rama drew him upon his lap to reconcile him to his disappointment. No sooner did he come into the contact with the divine body of Rama than Bharata clean forgot his grief, his sorrow and his cares. Dark of hue like a rain-charged cloud, with eyes like lotus petals, he spoke in the tones of a maddened swan. "Boy, you are by nature right-minded and have strengthened it by sitting on the feet of the wise. So it is in you to hold sway over this earth. Take heedful counsel with your ministers, governors, friends and experts." Then he bethought himself that Bharata had not even now abandoned the idea of taking me to Ayodhya in spite of his being exhorted by me and the Devarishis. "It behooves me to destroy in him this lightest hope." He continued, "The moon may be shorn of its luster, the Himalaya may lose its crown of snow, the ocean may overflow its shores, but I will never go back upon my promise to my father. Your mother has done this, maybe out of a great love for you or out of ambition to rule through you. Do not take it to heart too much, but render her your heartiest and most devoted service. Whoever heard of turning Rama from his purpose more radiant than the sun?" Bharata, who knew better than others that Rama was the fittest to rule the kingdom wisely and that he deserved best the worship and respect of all beings whose hearts he gladdened as the full moon, followed the advice of Maharishi Vasishtha, who ever compassed the welfare of himself and Rama, and said, "Brother, I pray you place your holy feet on the sandals inlaid with gold. They have power to secure every good to all the worlds." Rama granted Bharata's prayer and kept his own promise by doing so. His brother went round them in reverence, raising his hands above his head, took a terrible vow. 10 years and 4 shall I stay outside the city gates, clad in the garb of hermits, and sustaining my life on woodland fare, my eyes ever on the road that brings you back to Ayodhya. I shall duly report myself to your sandals every day as to how I discharge my duties to your subjects. If on the first day of the 15th year I see you not here, I enter the blazing pyre. Be it so, replied Rama, and clasped Bharata and Shatrughna to his breast. Bharata, cried he, watch over your mother carefully and serve her humbly. Banish from your heart all anger where she is concerned. Swear it by me and by Sita. He gave them leave to depart, his eyes brimming with tears. Bharata decorated the sandals as well as he could, worshipped them duly, and placed them on the state elephant. Meanwhile, Rama, whose steadfast devotion to Dharma might well be the despair of the Himalaya, took leave of the rishis, brahmanas, ministers, governors, according to them due respect and kindness. The royal ladies were choked by the blinding tears and could not give him their parting blessings. Raghunatha saluted them all and entered his cottage in tears, all unmanned. Mangalam Koshlendraya Mahaniya Gunapte Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhomaya Mangalam.